Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 6. And they all ate and were satisfied. This is the text. Whenever I talk about the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, whether it's in Bible class or confirmation class, I like to point out a bit of trivia. So many of you have probably heard this before. You know the answer. It's trivia, but it's clearly something that is not trivial. Because there was only one miracle that Jesus performed, other than him rising from the dead, that shows up in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That one miracle is this, the feeding of the 5,000. No other of his miracles appears in all four Gospels. So this must be important. It's certainly not trivial. But why is giving people some food such a big deal? It would seem that miracles like raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, like we saw a few weeks ago, or raising Lazarus from the dead, which was really the miracle that got everyone's attention before Jesus enters in on Palm Sunday, you would think that those would be more noteworthy and would appear in all four Gospels. But they don't. Just this one. Jesus did many miracles that helped people a lot more than giving one meal to a crowd. Besides, in his Sermon on the Mount, didn't Jesus say that fasting was profitable for a person? Going a day without food. Even Luther says in his catechism that fasting is fine outward training. So if the people didn't get some food that day, it really wouldn't have been that big of a deal. Jesus could have suggested the people should fast for the day. And fasting, going without food in devotion to God, it was a regular part of the worship life for most of the Israelites. Many of them, the real devout, would fast 2 days out of the week, which I find insane, knowing my dietary habits, but they did this. Jesus had other plans. The meal. It's important. It's important on several levels. First of all, in the ancient world, participating in a meal with someone, it meant something. You just didn't eat with anyone. If you sat down at a table with someone, it meant you were in a good relationship, a close relationship. Basically, you say you consider them as close as your family, and that they are truly your brother or sister. You are acknowledging that there is complete forgiveness for anything that has happened in the past. You don't sit down at a meal to hash out your problems. In the ancient world and in the Near East, still to this day, eating signified that there was a oneness and there was forgiveness. There were no grudges held. There was real peace among you. We look at Jesus and what he does throughout his ministry, he would eat with people. He ate with tax collectors and sinners who came to him in repentance, and he received them in faith. You also have going on with this crowd and this feeding miracle, a foreshadowing of a greater meal to come in the sacramental language that is used. Jesus said a blessing, that is, he gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples. And those are words which should be familiar to all Christians. Now, the use of them in the Gospels, I believe, is intentional. Mark, like the other Gospel writers, makes it clear that Jesus was preparing the world to receive him after his resurrection and ascension. Also, in the minds of these Israelites, this feeding miracle would stir up thoughts of the past. This feeding took place where? Out in the wilderness. They received bread from heaven in the wilderness. No Jew would be failed to be reminded of manna, the bread from heaven received by the children of Israel for 40 years after the Exodus out of Egypt. Those were days when God was unusually near and active in the lives of his people. Those days lingered in the memories of the Jews. Those Israelites who were with Moses in the wilderness, they were in a unique, close relationship with God. They were God's chosen. God had compassion on them. Not because they deserved it. They certainly had done nothing to deserve God's mercy and grace. I mean, from our judgmental perspective, they didn't even deserve bread. They continually disobeyed and rejected God. But God had compassion on them because he loved them. He cared for them. And they were helpless, and they would have died without his compassion. Christ's presence in the world is no different. We see in the feeding of the 5,000, Christ shows that he is true God. Just as it was in the days of the Exodus, Christ is both teacher and provider for the children of Israel. And once again, God is seen to be unusually near and active in the lives of his chosen people. And he has compassion on them, not because they deserve it, but because they need it. Jesus took care of the people's physical needs, their physical hunger, just like God did out in the wilderness for the Israelites. But Jesus' compassion for these people was for their spiritual needs, their spiritual hunger. These people were starving, and Christ needed to feed them. And he told the apostles, you need to feed them. Now, these people would not have physically died without getting bread and fish that day. However, these people were in danger of spiritual starvation. And they were in danger of eternal death if God did not have compassion on them and nourish them with the bread of life. So Jesus uses this small, seemingly worthless amount of raw materials that the disciples provided. It's all that they could find. 5 small loaves and 2 fish. And Christ made them not only be adequate, but there was so much food left over, the disciples collected 12 baskets full of bread and fish. Yet, all of the people ate and were satisfied. Once again, though, the eating of the physical bread is not the focus. Jesus is the bread of life. It's the meaning behind the meal. You did not set aside time this morning so that you can come and be physically nourished at this altar. The small portion of bread and wine offered at this table, it's not going to physically feed a crowd and satisfy your physical hunger. Like my dad said last week when he preached here, the world looks at what we do and is convinced that we are wasting our time. Why would you come and spend an hour so you can get 1 small wafer and a sip of wine? Yet what you receive here is more filling than the feast Christ provided for that crowd that day out in the wilderness. You come here to be filled. You come here for your hunger to be satisfied. This is the feast of victory. Why we sing that hymn of praise. Now, from an outsider's perspective, it's hard to call something a feast when you only have really small portions of food. It seems like a strange idea. Granted, it does. unless those small portions are so filling, so satisfying, and are so valuable that they are to be treasured above all other food. If that is the case, then you have a feast. This is a feast of victory in Christ. Those who don't understand the value of this, who don't understand how filling this is, they'll look at what we do and imagine that, we're all here wasting our time. The focus on this feeding miracle, it's not about people having some bread and fish. Just as the focus on the miracle that we are about to participate in, it's not about eating a wafer of bread and having a sip of wine. How unsatisfying would that be? The presence of Christ, the Son of God, coming to us and demonstrating his compassion through his broken body and shed blood for us to eat and drink, filling us with his righteousness through the miracle of this sacramental union. Christ remains unusually near and active in the lives of his people. Just like out in the wilderness, Christ permits himself to be found, and he feeds us, and we are satisfied. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.